Morning. Pleasure to be with you, like it has been for the last few weeks, but it's a pleasure to be up here being able to share God's Word with you folks. And it's, I feel honored that I was asked, and just pray that the Lord would speak through me and have you to hear what the Word has to say today. Pardon me for the cold. It'll go away someday. The title of my sermon today is going to be, Is Our Worship Sincere? And according to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the word worship is derived from the Greek word proskuneo, which means to crouch, to bow down in homage, or to adore lovingly. Of all the different methods of worship, all have this common purpose in mind: worshiping God by willingly bending yourself in loving obedience to the Creator. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today, Lord, with some of us heavy hearts, some of us with joyful hearts, Lord. But we all come to you, Lord, for one reason, and that is because you loved us and we love you. We worship you, Father. We're so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done for us, God. We're so grateful and so thankful for sending your Son, Jesus, that he would be willing to die on the cross and be raised again, Lord, for our sakes. Not for his, Lord, because he didn't have to do it. He did it for us. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who a lot of times, I believe, is overlooked. And we are sorry that we overlook the Holy Spirit, Lord, because we know that he is you. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for that failure. And we ask that you would ask each one of us in our hearts to look at ourselves, Lord, and to realize that the Holy Spirit can help us. That's what he was sent for, to be a helper to us in our time of need. And Lord, we just ask that the message today be a blessing to you, Lord, and to the ones that hear it. In Jesus' precious name, Father, amen. John 4:24, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to look that up. If you don't, that's okay. And I'm getting old and I can't read good, so pardon me if I have to really struggle sometimes to see what I'm reading here. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What's that all mean to us? What's he trying to say? If you remember that verse in its context, he's talking to the lady at the well. And she recognized who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, the Savior. But she was not of the faith, the Jesus. And so they had a different way of worshiping him. So he was explaining to her that you can worship God anywhere. Not at the temple, not at just the church building, not necessarily just there in front of Jesus. But you can, as long as your worship is true worship, you can worship God anywhere, whether it's home, out in the field, getting in and out of your car, any place. It doesn't matter. God is God. And sometimes we forget that God is the God of everything, not just the Sunday morning church service. He is the God of everything. He created everything. He gives everything. And it's our duty to worship him. It's an obligation as a Christian to worship your Lord. And it should become something that is just so natural to you that it becomes a second nature. And today, what I'd like to talk to you about is, really, is it sincere and has it become part of our natural nature to worship God in all things that we do and not just on Sunday mornings when we're gathered together like we are here today? We have to really question ourselves sometimes. We have to look deep at ourselves and be honest with ourselves and be able to be honest with ourselves to admit if we're failures. And being a failure is not a bad thing sometimes. If you love God and you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot of times. But the key to failure is to look at the Word and let the Word lift you up to be successful and to overcome that failure. So today I'm going to ask all of you to really search your heart to really look deep at yourselves and ask yourselves, am I really worshiping God the way I should be? I know I'm not. Please don't think that I'm up here to try to tell you to look at me as a great example, because I'm a poor example. Jesus is your example, not me. I'm just a human. I fail every day. If you don't believe that, ask this beautiful woman sitting here. She'll tell you. We all are failures in so many ways. But we're also, in so many ways, we're righteous in God's sight. And we have to remember that. And there's a thin line there that we have to sometimes like walk the fence and say, whoa, I got to be careful. I know that God loves me. The Bible tells me all about how His righteousness is cloaked on me now. And sometimes I might want to get a big head about that and think that I am somebody. And you are somebody. But don't go to the point where you become more important than the one who created you. And that's sometimes what we do. We do that in many ways in our life. Sometimes it's baseball. We can't go to church with a baseball game on or a football game on. Or, well, you know, I haven't seen Joe for so long. I think we're just going to skip church and go see Joe and maybe do some fishing or just have a barbecue. And that's all wonderful. That's all fine. Those are great things to do. But who are you putting first? Number one, I'm a firm believer that in the church building itself, it's our obligation to be here not for any reason to not be here. It's our obligation to each one of you to be here so you can see that I'm here, I can see that you're here, to help lift each other up, to help bring admiration to the Lord together. We can always go to the ball game after church if that's what our heart desires. I'm going to Quincy after church, but I wouldn't have went to Quincy this morning. And so that's something I think we all have to look at ourselves. Where's our true worship lie at? What does it mean in the verse to worship in spirit? And what it means to worship in spirit is to worship from your heart. To worship from deep down in the depths of your heart. You truly are worshiping God because of who He is. True worship. It doesn't do any good to stand up and be part of a song and raise your arms up to heaven if you don't really mean it. If it's not truly from your heart, all you're really doing is fooling somebody. And what's it mean to worship in truth? Our worship must align, folks, with the Word of God. If your worship doesn't align with the actual words of God, it's false worship. I started to say I don't like to name names and point fingers sometimes, but we all do it. And I think when it comes to things that are anti-biblical, like cults, those type of things, we have to. If we know, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, but if we know someone who's a Mormon, as an example, we know that the Mormons worship Jesus because Jesus was the brother of Lucifer. Well, we know that's not true. It's just not true. No matter which way you want to paint it, Jesus is God. He's not the brother of Lucifer. Lucifer and Jesus didn't have an argument in heaven fighting about who was going to be able to rule down here and who wasn't. But that's what they teach. And it's your obligation as Christians, if you truly worship the Lord, it's your obligation to point that out in a loving, wonderful manner. But to talk to your friends who might be of a different faith than the faith of the Bible and explain to them that you worship God, the true God, and that you would like for them to be able to worship that same God with you. And they're liable to tell you, no, I'm not going to do it. But you know what? You have to try. Otherwise, what are we saying to God? Jesus, save me. I've repented. Be my Savior. I see you. That's kind of what it boils down to, isn't it? Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it. We've done that in life, I know. I mean, not to Jesus, but to other people. Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you. And you walk off and maybe never see the person again. Don't even try to see him again. Don't ever do anything for him again. We can't be that way. If we're going to be true Christians who worship God, we have to worship in spirit and in truth. And I know that might sound a little harsh to some of you. It might even make some of you a little mad that I'm saying it the way I'm saying it. But you know what? I didn't write the book, folks. I'm just reading from it. God demands that we worship Him. And if we won't, the rocks will. Now think about that. You know, I laugh about that every once in a while. But then one time I thought about it, and that made me cry. Because I realized that what He was saying is that I will be worshipped. I'm a loving God, but I'm also a jealous God. And I've given you my Son to die on the cross for you. And if you can't worship me, then be gone, because those rocks will get up and worship me, and you won't be. I don't think I could live through that. I don't know what it would be like to all of a sudden have stones and trees and everything start worshiping God verbally, and me standing there seeing this. I don't know. Sure feel like a failure, wouldn't we? I wouldn't. I'd be on my knees begging, please forgive me. I'm praying it wasn't too late. So we have to look at things like that. We have to look at what is true worship. What are we going to do about it? And you know, we should be worshiping in all aspects of our life. Mark 7:6 says, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And I want to testify to you today that I can relate to that. I can honestly relate to that. When I was raised in a church for a number of years. Even had a nice little certificate, you know, for so many Sundays and so many years of never missing Sunday school and all those wonderful things. Got out of church. Eventually went back to church because it was a down time in my life, which isn't that what we always do? Things are falling apart. Pardon the expression, but going to hell in a handbasket, which is a true, true statement. So many people look at that as cursing, but it's not. You're stating a fact. Hell is waiting for each one of us. And for each one of us that can accept God and fight back, that's a glorious thing. But I can remember being in church and playing all the games that we play. Singing, praising God, getting involved in everything that I could get involved in. And at the same time, I was running around drinking, carousing, and everything else. But the church family thought I was just a wonderful, wonderful person. So glad to have you. If they'd have known what I was doing behind their back, they might have wondered, you know, run me out of town on a rail. You know, and that's false worship. I thought I had a relationship with God. I really did. I really thought I had a relationship with God. But I didn't. All I had was a relationship with Bob. I made God come down to my standards. I made Him come down to fit what I wanted Him to be. And I'm saddened and sick to my guts over it. It's always bothered me. Even though the Lord forgave me, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And you know, and there's a good point, there's a good aspect to that. If we forgive ourselves too quickly, maybe we really never forgave ourselves. We were just trying to get it off of our back. It's good to be reminded sometimes of where we come from, what we've been, what we've done to God. That's what strikes me. Is what I've, all the things I've done to God. I don't even want to admit to some of them to you. It's sickening. It's sickening. Some of you have led a blessed life, I'm sure, and that's a wonderful thing. I never. I could have. Don't get me wrong. But I chose differently. I was raised in the 60s where a hippie was a pretty cool dude. And I was one of them. The long hair, the drugs, the alcohol. The only thing I didn't do was the running around with promiscuous sex, because I was always too embarrassed and bashful to ask anybody. I didn't even date in high school, ever. Too bashful. Got over it and got married to Julie. But I lived a horrible life. I mean, a horrible life. And I thought it was fun, and I thought it was exciting. And it's not anything to brag about, but it's something that I'm not ashamed to tell now, because I know that Jesus drug me from the drenches and the trenches to allow me to have salvation and to forgive me of all my sins. But he only did it for one reason. And you might be just sitting there now going, what reason was that? And that reason was to worship him. He does not need us. Jesus doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants each one of you to be with him forever. He's got great plans in store. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I've got an internet ministry we've had for, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years or something. I don't keep track of the years because they go by too quick and I can't figure out where they went. But our internet ministry has become a really big thing, and we're really proud of it. We're pleased with it. And we're so joyful to the Lord that he's allowed us to do so much with so little. And one of the pages on the website is what is heaven, another one's what is hell. And I tell you, there's a scared world out there for the people who aren't worshiping God. And I can tell you how I noticed it outside of everyday life around us. On our website, I get a report that tells me not who the people are, but you know, every individual that goes to the site and what they look at. I don't know who the people are, but it'll tell me what town they're from, what state, town, all that kind of stuff. But it gives us a listing of all kind of different information. But one of those things, parts of information pieces, is what pages on our website were looked at by number or by amount. And we have somewhere between 500 and 600 pages of information on there now. And always in the top 10, usually the top 5, is what is hell. And when I first put that page up, I didn't know what it would bring. I didn't know what would happen with it. You never know. You write something you feel like the Lord led you to write, and you put it there and see what goes on. And I was amazed at how many people on the internet are looking for something called what is hell like. Why are they looking at it? I hope it's not because they admire it. I feel that it must be because they're wondering what's going on. What is hell really? Is there really a hell out there somewhere? Is it true? I hear it all the time, but is it really true? Well, us that worship God, we know it's true. We don't have to go to the internet and find Forgotten Word Ministries and say, oh, them people said it's true there. I can believe it now. Well, no, we know it's true. We know it from the Bible. So worship is important for all of us. Different types of worship is important. In the Bible, there's different types of worship. There's kneeling, which is in Psalms 95:6, standing, Exodus 33:10, lying prostrate, 1 Kings 18:39, bowing down is in Nehemiah 8:6, bowing your head, 2 Chronicles 29:30, lifting your hands is in Psalm 63:4. So that's a lot of different examples, and there's more. And sorry, my brain doesn't do good enough to memorize all them. I had to read them to you, but it just shows us that the Bible's full of worship and different types of worship, but they're all worship to the God, the great I Am. He also tells us about the false worship that's there that we need to look at also. But these are examples of worshiping God and different ways that they worship God. And I love it when I'll give you a good example. Up in Chicago one time, it's maybe a poor example, but it struck me. Driving down the road, not one of the better parts of town, just looking the town over, come across a used car lot. It's nighttime. The lights are on. Snow about a foot and a half deep everywhere. And right on the sidewalk, in front of these used cars with all these lights blaring, there's a man on his knees praying. Looking at the cars praying. Now, I don't know his circumstance. And I'm shameful that I didn't stop and find out. But it struck me, there's a man who's not ashamed to pray. Not only that, he's not ashamed to pray wherever he's at. My little boy sitting here is a wonderful example. I know this for a fact because I was there. We were in Walmart one day. Little, I was looking at the fish. Little old lady come around the aisle, walking real slow. One look at her, I could tell she was ill, and very ill. And I said hello to her. She said hi, and I asked her, I said, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you a question but not try to offend you? She said, well, honey, yeah, you can ask anything. You know how little ladies tell you. Sure, honey. I said, are you ill by any chance? And she got tears in her eyes, and she said, yeah, I found out I had cancer. And my little boy stood there in Walmart, right in the aisle, and prayed for that lady. And I tell you what, nothing physically on this earth has ever touched me like that did. The unashamedness of it. And the little lady cried because she couldn't believe it that some little boy would pray for her in a Walmart. Right in public like that. And the little boy of all people. I don't think yet that Joey has realized exactly what all that meant as far as the impact of it. Someday he'll hopefully will look back and remember it and thank the Lord for giving him that opportunity and not being ashamed to take it. I don't know how many of you here know A.W. Tozer. Wonderful preacher. Just a real blessing to the family of God. A.W. Tozer said, it is delightful to worship God, but it is also a humbling thing. And the man who has not been humbled in the presence of God will never be a worshiper of God. He may be a church member who keeps the rules and obeys the disciplines and who tithes and goes to conference, but he'll never be a worshiper unless he is deeply humbling and humiliated before the Lord. And I can't agree more. I know we can come boldly to the throne because the Lord told us to. And so many times we misinterpret what coming boldly to the throne means, I think. It doesn't mean we can rush up to the throne and grab God by the throat and say, listen to me. It means we don't have to be bashful about walking right up there. Walk right up there to God, present yourself to Him, and then talk to Him. What it means to say boldly approach the throne is just that, to boldly approach the throne. Don't cower your way up to it. Should I or shouldn't I go? Should I? I don't know. What's going to happen if I go up there and God's mad at me? That's not how God is. We can boldly approach the throne. But once you get to the throne, if you can't, oh man, if you can't get in front of God and be humbled, I don't know what to tell you folks, but there's a problem somewhere. A deep, serious problem. And we see that in churches all over the world today, especially. And you know, I said this not long ago, and I believe it with all my heart. There's so much trash in the churches today. All over the world. But unfortunately, the majority of it all came from America and was taken to the rest of the world. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've been involved in it. I've been to crusades with so many different evangelists, TV evangelists, I might add. And there's some of them that are really good. And there's some of them that are really bad. Their worship is not true worship. It's not worship in spirit and in truth. It's worship to benefit them and their particular church building. How many times have you heard churches say, oh, our church is growing. Oh, we added this new wing. Oh, we put in this new coffee pot. Oh, we did this. Oh, we did that. praise God that He did all this for us. I don't remember God saying it was really important to have a coffee pot in church. I don't really remember God saying that as long as there's an empty pew, don't build anything else. Fill up the pews you got. Quit trying to be a mega church, folks. I mentioned this, I think, in class the other night. There's a guy, a preacher, and I can get his name for you if you're interested. I don't know why you would be, but I will. He wrote a book called 25 Reasons Why You Have to Be a Mega Church. And he believes it with all his heart. After all, you can't worship God if you don't have the money to do so. So if you guys don't have any money, I expect all of you to get up and leave so I can talk to the ones who really are worshipers of God. Isn't that just sickening? Just makes you want to vomit. And I hate being blunt, but I like to be honest. I also preach some sermons that are all about love, by the way. But I do like to preach sermons that hopefully make people think about what's going on. And make people look at themselves. Don't worry about me. I love God. God loves me. I'm going to be fine. I know that in my heart. My wife loves God. God loves her. She's going to be fine. I can't answer for any of the rest of you, though, because I don't know what your heart is. Only you know. And you have to search your own selves to see, am I truly worshiping God, or am I just... Is this, I used to call some of these mega churches country clubs without the golf course. Because that's what they are. They got movie theaters. They got everything you can imagine in them. And that's to worship God. If you want to worship God in a bowling alley, for the love of God, go to the bowling alley, downtown somewhere, bowl a few games, witness to the people around you, you're going to accomplish 10 times, 100 times more. What kind of witness are you in a church that has its own bowling alley when the person that's saved is standing beside you? How are you going to save that person? Excuse me. How are you going to spread the word and share the word so the Lord can save that person? We sometimes do say that, and I know that we don't mean it. But, you know, I brought that guy to the Lord. No, I really didn't. I shared the word. The Holy Spirit did me bring him. My sister, 2 weeks before she died of cancer, God rest her soul. She was struggling with life. She wasn't saved, wasn't a church goer. But you know what? She did know who God was because she told me that all the time. I know who God is. I'm okay. I love God. No, I do too. But sharing it ain't enough. And I went down, visited her, sent her some papers, some information, all about salvation, and an actual thing to fill out if she felt like this is what the Lord was leading her to do. And a couple of weeks before she died, she talked to me on the phone and said she'd give her life to the Lord. And I had to take her word for that. I'm not her judge. I'm not her jury. And I'm not her executioner. I just pray that she was sincere. You know, we have to realize that so many around us know who God is. But are they really, truly worshiping in spirit and in truth? That's really hard to say, isn't it? Because we might tell ourselves when we leave here today, I can't do that. You know why I can't do that? Because I might be judging that person if I start thinking about whether they're really worshiping in truth and spirit. And we all know, what's the Bible say? Judge not lest ye be judged, which I think is the most misinterpreted verse in the whole Bible. Many verses in the Bible tell us to judge. Judge people's fruits, their works, all kinds of things. What do you think you're doing if you interview somebody for a job, you've got a business, and they come in for an interview? And they sit down and they show you their resume and they talk to you. What are you doing? You're judging them on what you think is their capabilities to do something. And are they sincere about it? So we judge all the time, folks. So don't misinterpret the Bible. If you have questions about the Bible or if you hear something that's not quite right, read it. Find somebody to sit down and talk to about it. Don't be bashful. It's what you're here for. Worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I'll give you a quick example so we can get out of here of bad worship so you all understand how easy it is to fall into the trap of Satan's snares. If you don't think they're out there, you're fooled. and you're going to fall in and get caught in one of them. Lord, pray you don't. But it's highly likely if you doubt that Satan exists and that Satan is trying to get you, you're probably going to get caught. There's a band that's called Down Here. I don't know if any of you younger people heard of them. And they got some really good songs. I've heard them, not in person, but I've listened to the music to see what it was like and what it was about. And they've got some really good stuff. And they really seem like sincere, devoted people who are using their talent as musicians to worship the Lord. And so it's shocking when you get an email saying that the lead singer from this Down Here group is trying out for the part of a rock band that's going to go out and do all of the Queen. Anybody knows who Queen was, real demonic rock group. Freddie Mercury was their lead singer, a homosexual, died of AIDS. Didn't believe in the Lord at all. I'll show you how that looks like. Why would a Christian want to be the lead singer in this tribute band to somebody like that? Oh, we could say, well, because then he's going to say, God told me to do this. No, God didn't tell you to do that. God didn't tell anybody to go out and worship another Lord with your singing, another God. The song that he used as a audition was called Bohemian Rhapsody. We've all heard it. Probably you've seen it on TV and some movies. It's a very popular rock song. And some of the lyrics in it is Bismillah. If you don't know what Bismillah, I'll tell you, it's the name, one of the names of Allah. Scaramouche is another word that's used a number of times, and these are all used a number of times, by the way. And it means a boastful coward. He also uses the name Beelzebub. We all know what that is, another name for Satan. And when the sentence says, Beelzebub has a devil set aside for me. The song's actually about, the first lyrics in the song is, Mama, I killed a man. Took my gun, put my finger on the trigger, shot him, he's dead. That's what he's talking about. You know, it's a real sad start. Mama, I killed a man, blah, blah, blah. And so he goes on to ask Allah to help him, to protect him, because he knows that Beelzebub has a devil set aside just for him because he's been so evil. Now, in a Christian setting, you say, if he was worshiping, going to God, asking for forgiveness, and blah, 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 that's wonderful. But he's not. He's going to Allah. He's asking Allah for protection. And I would ask you, is that true worship in spirit and in truth from a Christian to do something like that? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine me sitting there trying to convince myself that God said it's okay for me to call on Allah. After all, it's only in a song. And the articles written about it was praising how, and the one lady said, I never thought I'd ever write an article about a rock group in my Christian articles, but it's because of blah, blah, blah. And they went on to praise how his voice sounded so much like Freddie Mercury's that it was unbelievable. And it is unbelievable. If you listen to it, you would say, my lands, they sound identical. So just because I sound like Freddie Mercury, I need to go out and play his music and forget who my God is? I don't think that's what it's about, folks. It's just not what it's about. So in closing, I want to tell you something. Don't miss what may be your last chance. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only son. And sometimes we get caught up on that single verse. But look at your concordances, your Bible. Go to the internet and type in ways that God proves he loves me in the Bible. There's a ton of verses in the Bible showing how much God loves you. He loves you so much. If I come to one of you and said, Do you love me? Yes, I love you, preacher. I love you. Would you kill your son for me? Are you out of your mind? Well, that's, you know, if you love me, prove it. I couldn't do it. I am here to tell you, I don't honestly believe there's one person in this church that could do it. We'd all like to think we could, because we do love God. But look at your son or daughter in the eyes and then think about it again. And realize, I couldn't kill my little boy. I'm sorry, God. I don't know what I do. I just don't know if I have the faith that I need to be able to sacrifice something like that. But God did, and he never hesitated, did he? So don't miss your last chance, what may be your last chance in this life to share true worship with somebody. If you're outside of the church building, or even if you're in here and you see somebody looking kind of down, don't say, I wonder what's the matter with Joe today. And I don't know who Joe is, so I don't mean any offense here. But if you see somebody that's down, don't just walk out the door with your wife and say, what do you think was wrong with Joe? Did you ask him? No. Well, shame on you. Get in there and ask him. Go talk to him. Put your arm around him. Hey, got a second? Go say, I need to talk to you about something. Take him over where nobody can hear. Say, something on your heart, man. Don't embarrass him in front of people. Take him aside. Let him think that you got something really important to tell him. Then when you get over there, prove you do. Prove you do. Because you know what? It may be the last time you ever get a chance. You're in a grocery store and people are there and you, hi, how you doing? I know a guy in Macomb that I never have seen him yet where every time I see him say, hey, how you doing? Happy? That's how he says it too. Happy? That's all he ever says. I mean, he talks other stuff, but no matter what, as soon as you see him, how you doing? Happy? Char? You betcha. I'm happy. Jesus loves me. And I know people that he used to work for me. That's how I know him so well. Other people that worked for me thought he was nuts. You know, he's just strange. Is something right about that boy? I said, no, you're absolutely right. Well, what is it? And I said, he loves you. And to you, that ain't right, is it? Well, now come on. I said, no, think about it. Oh, I tell you, I was lucky. I could have got fired, huh? I said, think about it. I told a bunch of different ones, think about it. He loves Jesus so much that, you know what this man's life was like? His wife walked out on him, left two kids. He refuses to get married again because he don't believe in being divorced. He raised those two kids. They're both out of college now. Lived by himself. All them years doing one thing, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And he's so happy that every time you see him, he says, I'm happy. Makes me want to go home, look in the mirror, and slap the living daylights out of myself. My lands, what's wrong with me that I can't be a portion of that kind of happy? Well, I hope the words meant something today. It meant something to me to be able to bring it to you. I hope you can understand that everything I said in love, not to offend. But we sometimes need to examine ourselves. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. And sometimes we forget that. We get so easy caught up. So if there's anybody here today, anybody at all, if you don't know Jesus, number one, you need to come down and find him. But number two, if there's anybody here that feels like, I need more prayer. I need to be closer to God. I need to get my worship in line with a loving God who loves me so much that I can never, ever, ever, ever repay him. Come down to the altar here today. Don't be bashful. Don't worry about who might be looking at you. They don't know what you're down here for. Maybe you're down here because your back aches. Maybe you're down here because you do want to draw closer to God. Maybe you're down here because you know that you are one like me who fails every day to be what I'm supposed to be. The Lord, ask today, Father, that your word might have hit home with somebody, Lord. That your word might have been a blessing. It might have been something that somebody took to heart, Lord, where they could say, you know, I feel kind of like that. You know, I feel like I failed you, Lord, in so many ways. To know how you love me so much, Father, and I failed you, you still love me, and I still am somebody, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to be happier. Father God, I want to see the joy from you in me. And that joy, I know, God, will come from worshiping you. And Lord God, I just ask you to be with each one of us today, Lord. Have the Holy Spirit talk to each one of us to examine our hearts, to draw closer to you, and to worship you in a way that would give you the glory, Lord, just you and you alone. All the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I ask this, Father, in Jesus, your precious, precious, precious.